friend after friend in the restaurant industry and service industry was having accidents or needed to go to the hospital, et cetera, and they didn't have health care because they couldn't afford it. The margins in the restaurant industry are extremely low, and the majority of restaurants do not offer comprehensive health care, or really most of the time even catastrophic health care.
So how many workers are involved, and do we know how many are uninsured and how many are insured?
As far as how many are actually involved in the food sector, I mean, you're talking over 100,000. I mean, we're talking a very large number in the city of Austin and the metropolitan area. If you talk about the uninsured, it is an overwhelming majority. They cannot afford health care. Their businesses cannot afford health care and will not typically offer it. They're required to pay 50% of a health care premium, and most of them just don't have the budgets.
Why is it that restaurants can't afford to buy health care for their workers?
You're looking at the margin on a restaurant. The typical restaurant is about 14%, you know, revenue. That's really low. And if you start insuring your employees and are required to pay 50% of a premium, your revenue dwindles away so fast you can't even see it. And that doesn't even cover, you know, the other expenses that you have in operating and running a business. In a kitchen where an executive chef, not at, you know, a super well-known restaurant, but an executive chef at just a regular small restaurant's income is less than $40,000 a year, and they're working 60 to 80 hours a week.
So when might this money start rolling out to the first few recipients?
We already have distributed funds. The Hurd family, they're both chefs. One of them had to stop working. Their daughter was diagnosed with desmoid fibromatosis, which caused her body to grow tumors, and she had to have two maxillofacial reconstructions before being 15 months old. And they have approximately $750,000 in medical debts already, and they had catastrophic insurance. So that was the first dispensation of funds. We are going to basically serve as a conduit until we actually have a system in place and people are going to do fundraisers, and we will help them, you know, disperse those funds to the necessary entities. The money that's coming in for this will basically go in the bank so that if there is an emergency, it's not about figuring out how to throw together a fundraiser in a week or two if there's a real emergency. It's so we can write a check.
What should the overall goal be here?
I'm not saying that we need to do 100%. I truly believe that everybody should have skin in the game when they opt into insurance. I'm not saying a handout, but I'm saying a situation where they help themselves, we help them, the community helps them, and everybody comes together and comes up with that solution.
Carla Loeb, thank you so much for coming in today to speak with us.
Thank you.